So we come now then to the subject of the unity of God. I'm really taking the first line out of chapter 2, paragraph 1, which begins, "There is but one only living and true God," the unity of God. In regard to this doctrine of the unity of God, there are several things here stated. First of all, it is clearly stated in that opening proposition, "There is but one only living and true God." And then ever after that, in this chapter and in all the chapters that follow, ever after that, this unity of the Godhead is always assumed in the constant reference to God in the singular as a most pure spirit, constantly referred to as he, him, his, the unity of God. God is the one and only living and true God. And if you just look at chapter 2 there, you'll see that. Even though it goes on to talk about the tri-personality of the Godhead, whenever referring to God as that one eternal being, he is always referred to as he, himself, his, constant throughout there. And then thirdly, that while God is a unity, paragraph 3 shows he is not a unit. God is not a unit. He is a unity. We speak of the unity of God. We never say God is a unit. But as the living and true God, he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are tri-personal in the unity of the Godhead, and our baptism ever reminds us of that, and it makes our religion distinct as a true revealed religion of the Holy Bible. So this doctrine of the unity of God, the idea of one living and true God, this is called monotheism. Monotheism. One God. And modern liberal scholars have argued that this idea of one God, as found in the Bible, is quite recent. This is liberal scholarship now. This is a conservative scholarship. And particularly in the 19th century, the 1800s, early 1900s, this modern liberal scholarship came up with the idea, parallel with the theory of evolution. You know, evolution, the mankind is coming up from a primitive state to a civilized state over thousands and thousands of years. He's progressing, he is evolving, he is getting better. Parallel with that, these liberal scholars came up with the idea that primitive man also had primitive ideas about religion, primitive ideas about God, and the stage where we are now in religion, evolutionary religion, is monotheism. That's really taken to the centre, or to the core, to the fore in our modern age. But that anciently it was not so, that it progressed from animism to polytheism and then to henotheism, and then finally to monotheism. This is all nonsense, of course, as we shall see in a wee moment. But this is the idea of the scholars, the evolution of religion, and monotheism is quite recent. And they would even go far to say that the Bible isn't really a monotheistic book. That the Israelites, they really did believe that there were many gods, but that their Jehovah God was the one supreme God who they worshipped, who was the God of Israel, but they recognized the reality and the truth of other gods, so on and so forth. That the Israelites were henotheistic, coming out of polytheism, and now really the latter part of Israelite religion and early Christianity, that's really monotheism. That's all nonsense, of course. So what are these definitions, these terms? Animism, don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right or not. But anyway, it's written there for your eyesight. The teaching that spirits abide in inanimate objects like stones or rivers. So this is what the evolutionists say. Man, primitive man, he had an idea that there was a spirit in a stone or a spirit in a tree or the spirit of a river or the spirit of the valley or a spirit of a cave or a spirit of a forest, so on and so forth. And all these spirits, gradually these spirits in their thinking became gods greater than them, could do things for them in the forest, could do things for them at the river, could do things for them at the cave. God of war, God of love, God of this, God of that, God of the other. So this progress of many gods, and then henotheism, the idea that there's one supreme God. As man progressed, he got the idea, began to think a wee bit more about his world, began to realize that, well, there must be one chief, there must be one supreme God. Still hasn't denied the reality of other gods, recognizes other gods, may even fear and worship other gods on occasions, but generally recognizes there's one supreme God. And then that has evolved now, and civilized man really realizes that at this stage in religion that there can only be one true God, and he alone is to be worshipped. And of course, atheists, they'll say, well, man's still progressing more, and there's more and more coming to recognize that there's no God at all. So that's the evolution of religion, according to these ideas. And as I said, this evolutionary view of religion goes hand in hand with the evolutionary view of humanity as progressing from primitive man to civilized humanity. Clearly, both these forms of evolutionary teaching are false. Man was created not only innocent, but upright, with a comprehensive knowledge of God. With the fall, man has corrupted himself, as well as the knowledge of the true religion. In other words, the Bible does not teach evolution. The Bible teaches completely the opposite. Man was made up there. And the revealed religion was up there as well. A high knowledge of God as he revealed himself to our first parents in the Garden of Eden and walked amongst them. They had a high knowledge of God. And they had great knowledge and they were upright. Not just innocent, but righteous, upright, created holy. But with the fall, man has corrupted himself. We have the opposite of evolution. We have the fall. We have deterioration. We have men no longer living now for hundreds of years, but 80 years and 10 and a wee bit more. And their knowledge is depraved and corrupt as well. They're blind. And religion has deteriorated. Yes, Adam and Eve tried to maintain the true religion as long as they could. They lived for nearly 1,000 years or hundreds of years. They could see the spread of religion amongst their ancestors. But eventually after the flood, even before the flood, but certainly after the flood, the building of Babel, the spreading of polytheism and false religion and many gods in the different languages of the earth scattered across the world. And so we have an earth covered with darkness and ignorance and the knowledge of the true God and of the true religion has been corrupted, except as God has maintained it for us in his holy word. And so the doctrine of the unity of God, like the doctrine of the divine existence, is a self-evident doctrine and has been evident since the creation. Romans 1, if you turn to that portion. This is a biblical doctrine of what way the true religion has gone. Are we progressing to the true religion and to monotheism? No, quite the opposite. It has devolved or regressed from monotheism to all this nonsense of worshipping other lives and other creatures and even lifeless objects. Verse 20 of Romans 1, the invisible things of him, the one true and living God, the only God, him, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, been understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Not only the power of God, but his unity, his Godhead, his uniqueness is clearly evident. If men but opened their eyes, and if they didn't follow their lusts and their depravity, verse 21, because that when they knew God, and they did, as the true and the living God, the only God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And this is where the regression and the devolution has occurred, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory, yes, the glory of the uncorruptible God, that one God, into an image, many images, made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who trains the truth of God, his unity, his uniqueness, they changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who, that one God, is blessed forever. That's the true account of religion. It's not evolving, quite the opposite, it has deteriorated immensely. Man had the knowledge of God, but God has given them up to their blindness and to their depravity, and now the earth is filled with all this nonsense, worshipping gods here and there, and beasts and living things and inanimate objects and fearing spirits. And when Christianity departs, and when men reject the true God as revealed in the scriptures, that's where the country goes. And we're going back to that. We're going back to paganism. We're going back to reading the stars and fearing these spirits, thinking foolish imaginations as the devil presents them to us. That's the true account of religion. And so monotheism is not recent at all. Monotheism is revealed religion. Genesis chapter 1, the accounts of creation, which the ancient Israelites had from the time of Moses. The unity of God, the uniqueness of God is constantly presented there before us. In the beginning, God created. I know there is a plurality in the word God, Elohim, but the verb is singular. He created, not they created. The plurality in that name speaks of the distinctions of persons, but it does not speak against the unity. God is the one living and true God. He created. The verb is with a singular noun. God created the heaven and the earth. And constantly throughout that, God said, God saw, God called, or God named, so on and so forth. Constantly the word God with singular verbs. And you have it there in chapter 2 also. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested. So on and so forth. Constantly, every chapter, every verse practically of the Bible, this solitariness and uniqueness of God, this oneness. Even the devil acknowledges God's unity. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, chapter 3, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, verse 5, God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. And now we have a new concept. The idea that there could be other gods has come from the devil. The idea that there could be the progression of other beings up to a power and a level with the one living and true God, that has begun with the devil. And so the apostle is quite right when he says that whenever those who worship idols and give sacrifices unto idols, they give them to those who were behind the idea of idols and other gods, the devil. They sacrificed unto devils and not to the true and the living God. And chapter 3, verse 8, even after the fall, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, I know the liberals, they come up with the idea of God, chapter 1, Jehovah, chapter 2. You know, this is different documents, different ideas, different thoughts about historic religion, different camps and being all blended together. Well, Jehovah and God occurs here in verse 8. This God creator, this God Jehovah, who covenanted with his people, who put them in covenant and under covenant, this Jehovah God, this same God, creator, covenant God, this God, even after the fall, he walked in the garden in the cool of the day. There's only one living and true God, Jehovah God. And Jehovah God, verse 9, as he created the world, and as he put man in the covenant of works and allowed man to fall into sin, that same creator God, that same Jehovah God, came again in grace and called man once more in the gospel. This one God said, where art thou, man? Even in those early chapters of Genesis, the most historic and prehistoric documents of the people of Israel, nothing polytheistic, but totally monotheistic, the one only living and true God. So the Bible clearly reveals the one living and true creator God, and beside him there is none else. This is not only paragraph 3 there on page 3, this is not only clearly the teaching of the Bible, but we've also put this brief phrase in, which is a wee bit further advanced on that. There is no truth in the Bible more clearer than the doctrine of the unity of God. I would have to say that. You know, there's a lot of clear things in the Bible, but there is nothing clearer than this, that there's only one God. That is so clear, so fundamental. It is so important. It's very important to deal with the unity of God before we come to the Trinity, because we have to understand this, not in the way the Jehovah's Witnesses do, because they don't say that Jesus Christ is God. They make him a lesser being than the one living and true God. And yet they profess to exercise faith in him and serve him and love him supremely and worship him and even not hesitating to give him the name of God. But it is not that one living and true God, they hesitate to give that to him. What is it? Is he up there in the unity of the Godhead? Or is he not? It's very important. Is our Savior God, or is he not? It's very important. And we'll come to that in time. He is God. He is that one living and true God with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. For our God is not a unit. He is living. He has life in himself. He has being. He is Father. He is Son. He is not alone, although he is only. The Lord has stamped this doctrine on every page, and God has spent a very, very long time revealing it in the Old Testament, grounding us in it most certainly, and then slowly revealing unto us his tri-personality in that Godhead. So it is a fundamental and essential doctrine.